Chapter 11. Camp Ohio looks like it's popping. Unga had taken the point position and sent a finger in the direction of the camp. It was lit up like a rock event, with unending noise from the walkers and other heavy machinery.
How are we gonna sleep through all that?
Asked Kreese sarcastically. The only thing you could always count on in any deployment or training was the constant hum of huge generators all day and all night. Sleep came easily.
Bitch, please, Corporal Day shot back. You'd sleep through the end of the world.
Shut it, Rangers, Sergeant Tran spat. We haven't reached the lines yet. Reach, we're about as close to that badger as I'm comfortable getting. Awaiting clearance to enter before we approach. Stand by.
I'll do it, Sergeant, Reach answered. He pinged Sherman on the implant.
Hatchet 01, recon patrol returning to camp.
That was fast, Sherman answered. Find the objective?
Negative. Took an opportunity to capture a female prisoner. Maybe more willing to talk.
Roger. Tell them to activate their IR strobe, wait 30 seconds, and approach. Out.
As Reach passed on the information, he noticed that the prisoner was looking directly at the camera mounted to Tran's helmet. The night vision obscured her features, but it was clear enough that she wasn't wearing a Rupak uniform. Nor did she look Chinese. Waiting period expired, the Rangers carefully made their way toward camp.
We got eyes on you, Sergeant Tran, one of the first platoon sentries said.
Roger.
The prisoner stalled, like she didn't want to go any further. Tran gave her a gentle shove to the small of her back, ending her hesitation. Reach was out of the Badger and waiting to meet them.
Nicely done. Sergeant Tran, you can dismiss your team.
I'd like for you to accompany the prisoner and me to Captain Bosa.
Roger.
Tran nodded at his team.
Grab some chow and some sleep. Well done.
A chorus of hoo-ahs came back in reply. Reach folded up his battle board, noticing how the prisoner made the connection between Tran's camera and the image the board displayed. He nodded at her, then tilted his head toward the camp.
This way.
They moved beyond the lines toward the artificial glare of Camp Ohio and its floodlights. Still outside the wire, a rumbling, armored bulldozer came to a stop in front of them.
Hello, lady,
a Space Force engineer manning the dozer called out.
What's your name, honey?
At ease, Reach shot back. You've got better things to do than catcall.
Sorry, sir.
What are you doing working outside the camp? Tran asked.
Clearing all this brush. Captain wants better defenses. Needs a buffer between the forest and us so the commies can't get as close.
Reach nodded, then led the way back to the array building. Sherman was already there waiting for them.
So much for finding the Rupak camp, huh?
She's gonna help us find it, Reach replied, sounding more confident than he really was when he considered the matter.
We'll see. Or she's just along until you let your guard down and she can stab you in the neck.
Guess I'll keep my guard up then.
Reach's comment made Tran chuckle, leaving Reach to wonder if it was the joke or him that was being laughed at.
Captain's inside the array, Sherman said, hitching a thumb over his shoulder. I told him you were coming in with the prisoner.
The woman hesitated again as Reach brought her to the threshold. She shook her head emphatically, refusing to go inside.
Come on, don't make this difficult, Reach grunted, grasping her zip-tied wrists and pushing her forward.
Makes you wonder what Rupak says about us, remarked Sergeant Tran. She looks scared to death.
Inside, the place was buzzing with activity. Several Space Force techs were setting up scaffolding, while others worked on repairs to circuitry and the building's structure itself. The prisoner seemed awed by her surroundings, or perhaps just overwhelmed by the day's events and the rate at which the Americans were now making the camp once again their own. Captain Bosa was at his desk, having a go at interrogating one of the other Rupak prisoners.
No sign of the Rupak base, I understand it, he said by way of greeting.
He gestured to the prisoner.
But you didn't come back empty-handed. Well done, Reach, Sergeant Tran.
Thank you, sir, Reach said. I think the prisoner is willing to talk. She's certainly given off a different vibe than everyone else we've apprehended.
Bosa nodded.
Good, because this one stonewalled us. I think he just wanted a respite from his cell. Let's get him back there, Private.
The guard escorting the filthy prisoner pulled him up from his chair, making an open seat for the newcomer. But when the Rupak prisoner saw the woman, he began to shout. "Hey!" the guard called out, showing the muzzle of his rifle to the man. "Shut it!" There was no lack of understanding of that threat. The Rupak soldier glowered at the woman and was led away peacefully. Through it all, Reach had been watching the girl. Her eyes were lit up with fear. Bosa noticed it too.
"Well, that was interesting. Seems you found someone else on this planet who doesn't get along with Rupak, or at least not that particular Rupak soldier. Where'd you find her?"
"In the forest," Reach said, the exact sequence of events playing back vividly in his mind as though he were watching the footage. And then he realized he was.
"She appeared to be hunting this thing out there, like a deer or a horse, but with feathers." "Using Rupak-issued weapons?"
"Negative, Captain. Bow and arrow. About as primitive as you can get."
Captain Bosa stroked his chin. "But also very quiet. Lieutenant Sherman, have you seen any evidence of Rupak using bows and arrows during your engagements?"
"None whatsoever, sir."
The captain turned back to Reach.
"You said she seemed willing to talk. What has she said so far?"
"Nothing of value. Her name, maybe. Spoken to Sergeant Tran when captured. Nothing I understood. But an intent to communicate seemed evident to me."
"Is that your assessment as well, Sergeant Tran?"
"Yes, sir," Tran said. "She seemed open to communicating and cooperating. She made no noise on the trip back to camp and made no attempts to escape."
Throughout this discussion, the woman stared in the direction the Rupak prisoner had been taken, but when Bosa cleared his throat, she flinched back to face him.
"What's your name?" he asked.
She studied him for a moment, then went back to looking at the doorway through which the Rupak prisoner had gone.
"Doesn't seem as talkative as before, does she?" Bosa said. "Let's get her something to drink. Private Dunn, grab me some water."
"Yes, sir."
Dunn went running.
Bosa turned his attention to Sergeant Tran.
"Have you released your men to get some sleep, Sergeant? Something to eat?"
"Yes, sir. I can leave too if I'm not needed."
Bosa chuckled at the straightforwardness of that comment. Tran wanted no part in being delayed with everything that came next.
"Could be a long while, Sergeant." "Dismissed. We'll fill you in on anything that comes from it. Well done."
"Thank you, sir."
As Tran exited, Dunn came bounding back with a bottle of water and a plate of food, which he set on the desk.
"That was quick," said Reach. "Took it from Ramirez," Dunn said with a smile. "He's pissed."
Reach didn't bother to hide his own smile. He gestured to the prisoner to fill the empty seat.
"Sit. Have something to eat."
Captain Bosa crossed his arms.
"Usually I'd say that's a bad idea. No telling what our food might do to her if she's been living off the land. But I don't think we can pull it away now without sending the wrong message."
The woman eyed the food hungrily, then at the folding chair, and then onto everyone's faces, before relenting. Captain Bosa was across from her, and Reach and Sherman on either side.
"Go ahead," Bosa said, gesturing at the meager spread. "Have a few bites, we can talk after."
She seemed to understand. Reach expected her to lunge forward to the food, scoop it up into her fingers, and shove it into her mouth, but she was dignified. She took a piece of bread, dipped it in bean sauce, and took a bite. Her chewing was aggressive, hungry, but not wild.
"Let's start with something easy," Bosa said to the woman, a soft tone to his voice. "Same question as before. What's your name?"
She again looked to Reach and Sherman, then tossed her hair out of her face. Maybe it was the long journey and the lack of females on the boon, but to Reach, she seemed remarkable. No, stunning. It took him a second to realize that he was staring, and another moment to register the three deep pink scars that went from her right ear to the middle of her cheek. They did nothing to curb her beauty, however. In fact, they enhanced it.
"Isatokil,"
she replied. The soldiers glanced at each other, then to Dr. Roman, who came to join them.
"Sorry for my delay," the doctor said. "She doesn't sound or look Rupak, does she?"
"Doesn't appear to be," Bosa said.
Roman licked his lips with eagerness, like he was on the verge of some breakthrough.
What is her name?
We're still trying to figure that out, the captain replied.
She seems to be in the mood to talk, but I'm not sure what she's telling us. You've heard as much as we have at this point.
Roman grabbed another chair and sat down. He said something in what sounded like Chinese. The woman looked wary, so he tried Russian. Reach found he could understand the words perfectly well. The woman looked confused, though, turning from the old man back to the soldier.
Is Anat a Karaish? She asked.
The man exchanged looks.
I understood the first four words of that, Sherman said. What is Karaish?
Bosa asked.
Karaish,
the girl repeated. Bosa looked to Roman.
Any idea what she's trying to tell us? That word, Karaish?
Karaish,
she echoed.
Does that mean anything to you, doctor?
Roman sat back in his chair and tapped his chin for several seconds before answering.
No. But there is something to her accent on the English words that seems peculiar to me. English as a second language has its unique accents, but hers is unusual. Sometimes I think I hear Russian, Mandarin, other times something Midwestern.
I picked up that Midwest accent myself, Bosa said. And she isn't responding to your Russian or Chinese, doctor.
Dr. Roman gazed at the prisoner with interest as she sopped up more of the sauce on her plate.
The faint pop, pop, pop of automatic weapons fire sounded somewhere east of the camp. Soon the general channel was lit up with calls of contact, east side, engaging. Sherman didn't hesitate to dismiss himself from the meeting as the tum, tum, tum of a Badger's 20-millimeter cannon fulfilled the promised engagement of the enemy. Reach made a similar move before Bosa motioned for him to stay.
Our defenses are in place, young man. You found this prisoner. And by the way, she's looking at you for assurance. It seems you've made at least some connection. I don't think we'll progress any further with you gone.
The cannon stopped firing almost as quickly as it had started, and soon the camp went quiet again. Reach waited for Captain Bosa to begin again before realizing that the man's finger was against his implant. He was listening to someone. He replied out loud.
Negative. Not here. We're already interrogating another prisoner. Take them to the brig. Very good. I see. Will they? Very good. Hatch it out.
He nodded to Roman and Reach.
We've captured two more Rupak soldiers. Not without taking two more casualties, though. Nothing too serious, but enough to keep the men out of the fight while they recover. We can't keep doing this forever. Captain, neither can our enemy, Reach said. That may be, but they certainly seem content to keep throwing bodies against us. It would help to know how many bodies they have before they run dry, and for that, we need our prisoner to talk.
He stood from his seat.
The thought occurs to me that she might say more if I'm out of the way, if there's a less intimidating formality. You take her somewhere with fewer eyes and see what you can do, and have one of the medics check that wound on her arm, just in case. Dismissed.
Yes, Captain.
Reach helped the woman to her feet.
Let's go back outside.
Gup,
she said, not fighting him. Dr. Roman picked up her plate.
I'll just bring this along so you can finish it up. Oh, Alexa, can you come join us? I think another female face might also put her at ease.
My pleasure, Alexa said, emerging from another room and following them out of the building.